I wonder if anybody knows what one of the most popular women's names in Roman occupied Judea among the Jews would have been at the time of Jesus. It was Mary. In fact, some estimates say that perhaps 1 in 4 women bore the name of Mary in that region, Jewish women. Does anybody know how many Marys are mentioned in the New Testament? 5? 3? By some estimates, there are as many as 7 separate, distinctly different Marys mentioned. And it was one of them that I wanted to talk about this morning. And this particular Mary had a tendency or a propensity for drawing criticism from other people. And I wanted to look at 2 stories about her this morning. I thought we would turn first to a story in Luke chapter 10. And particularly the criticism that this Mary drew was in people sure that she was making wrong choices. I'll read this short account from verses 38 to 42. Now as they went their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So somebody in this story, Mary's sister Martha, was sure that she was making a wrong choice. And in this story that we've read, I've heard it talked about a lot. People are often quick to criticize Martha for her worrisome ways. She's just real busy, and Mary's kind of calm, or apparently calm and eager to learn manner, and then lessons drawn from their different personality types and what types of people those are that we encounter in life. But I wanted to come at it from a slightly different angle this morning and ask you to consider this. Much of what Jesus taught in his ministry on earth was a faith of taking action. He was always encouraging people to take action. And many of his teachings involve servitude of one kind or another, some kind of serving. So let's consider Martha for just a moment, and what was she busy doing? Was it bad? There's nothing bad about hospitality. In fact, that's encouraged. The end of Hebrews says that it's important to entertain strangers. In this case, there was a relationship here. I think we learn from the Gospel of John that particularly Jesus was fond of Mary, Martha, and her brother Lazarus. It says that Jesus loved them. But there's nothing wrong with servitude. There's nothing wrong with taking action and serving your guests. That's a healthy, right enterprise. Right before this story of Mary and Martha, in the book of Luke, Jesus talks about the parable of the Good Samaritan. That's what precedes this story immediately. And at the heart of the Good Samaritan story, you know, we know about the man who was robbed and left stripped of his clothing and half dead, and I think like one of the principles at the heart of that story was, inaction and action. There were people who weren't willing to do anything, who just kind of went around, and then there was the Samaritan who took action. And prefacing this story right before he told the story of the Good Samaritan, there's this meeting between a lawyer and Jesus himself, and this is how it went. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he, the lawyer, answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, again the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And from there Jesus launches into the parable of the Good Samaritan and says, "And you do likewise. You be a neighbor in that same way." So it's a story of action. But if you look at verse 27, the answer of this lawyer, we read, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." So all these facets of how we love God and how we serve him, Jesus was pleased with that answer. It was a good answer, and said, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." So both sisters in the account of Martha and Mary were doing different parts of this prescription for how to serve God and how to be saved. We have Martha busy in taking action to love her neighbors, which would be Jesus and his company. It says that there was more than, it says they went into a city, so they were hosting several people. We don't know how many. But Mary was busy about something else. She was focusing on soaking up time with Jesus, and thereby she was pouring her heart and soul into loving her God. So she was fulfilling the heart, soul, and mind part of this prescription for how to be saved and how to love God, while her sister was fulfilling the strength and the heart. However, having said that, Jesus said that in that particular instance, in that scenario, in that case, Jesus was on earth for a limited amount of time. There was only so much time to spend with him and learn from him. And Mary was the one who had made the right choice. So she gets criticized by her sister, and in turn, she gets justified by Jesus. A mistake I think that we often make when we read this story is we start figuring out who in our life is a Martha and who is a Mary, and I think that that's wrong. In that particular context and at that time, it was right to invest time in Jesus. It was right to be sitting at his feet and learning. And so I would suggest this morning that both were doing good things, but in that moment of time, in the midst of criticism, Mary being justified by Jesus was doing the better thing. In other words, the context or the time, that what we're experiencing, the set of circumstances right now governs how we should be serving Jesus. The other passage that I wanted to look at was in John chapter 12. And Mary again takes some heat here. We'll do verses 1 through 11. Somebody accuses her of making the wrong choice again. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. This was after Lazarus' miraculous resurrection. So we read later that this drew a whole bunch of people, not just for the sake of meeting Jesus, but also because here was a man who had been dead and he's alive and eating. They just wanted to see. Whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served. It's interesting. What's Martha doing again? She's She's serving again in this story. And Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given unto the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. So here again, in this account, Mary makes a choice and she suffers criticism for it. Again, Jesus intervenes and justifies Mary's choice to focus her time and attention on him. And again, just of interesting note, I mean, there are only so many words recorded in scriptures, and yet there's two words dedicated to what Martha's doing again. It says she's serving. Again, Martha is serving, which is a good action. And here again, in this account, the criticism that is made suggests that Mary ought to have been doing something else than what she was doing. Something else good. It was not a bad suggestion. And in this particular case, Judas takes it, it's a literal cut and paste application of one of Jesus' teachings. Sell what you have and give to the poor. That was not a bad thing. However, John makes it clear that there was a big difference. While Martha, if you think about the story of Mary and Martha, her criticism was born out of frustration. She felt like she was bearing up under this alone. And in Judas's case, there was no real care for the poor, no real care for Jesus' teaching, but he was just a greedy thief. Another difference, or that's all that I meant about that. Yeah, just Judas's criticism comes from being a greedy thief, while Martha's comes from being overwhelmed, frustrated, and serving. So again, if we think about that prescription of that the lawyer gave Jesus about how to be saved, what does he read in the scriptures? He reads that we should love God with our whole mind, soul, strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. So here, Mary is focused on Jesus, loving him with a mind, heart, and soul. And she's criticized by someone who thinks she should have been taking her faith into a better action, into selling what she had and giving to the poor, which would be like the aspects of strength, mind, and loving a neighbor. As I thought about all this this morning, Mary is a friend and a disciple of Jesus, and in her unique role in the Gospels, she's criticized twice for taking an action that others deemed inappropriate at the time, and twice she's justified by Jesus, saying that she was actually choosing the appropriate thing. And in each story, the criticisms that are leveled against her are a fulfillment of another way to serve God and another application of Jesus' teachings. But in each story, focusing on Jesus now, while he was still on earth, was the right choice. It was the right choice. I think when we get caught up in labeling a critic as a Martha or a Judas, we can we can miss an important principle. And that principle is it's healthy both to spend time focusing on Jesus and it's important to take our faith to action. Both of them together. The pursuit of Jesus is not just a monastic life of prayer, meditation, reading, and fasting. Nor is the pursuit of Jesus a nonstop pumping out of action-based service. It's good to have both together. That verse right before the story of Mary and Martha says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." So depending on the situation you are in, depending on the situation any of us are in, it could be good to... We cannot sit at Jesus' feet anymore. That's not possible. I mean, I wonder, like, when Mary was sitting there at Jesus' feet, what did she hear? Probably a lot of the things that we have recorded in the scriptures. But maybe there were some other little nuggets of wisdom that we miss. In any case, the way to do that now is through study, is through meditation on the words that we have recorded that were Jesus' words. And there are times that is totally appropriate and it is a right pursuit of God. And there are times that taking action is the right thing to do, when to sit around and to read scriptures would be inappropriate because there's a need right now that needs to be met. There's something to do now. And we all have to discern in that. We all have to be careful. And we also have to be careful not to be quick to level an accusation of time inappropriately spent at other people.
Yeah, I guess I'll kick it off here. Thank you, Max, so much. Appreciate you. Appreciate that message. I'd be interested to know if you would agree with this. What came to mind and what I think I even heard in your message implied was as if we just look at this lesson with regard to the summation that Jesus in his dialogues with Pharisees that brings out, number one, it's not just mentioning two things, and we put an and in between them. Oh, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor yourself. No, there's a priority there. First, it's love God, and then love your neighbor. It's almost like, as Max would know very well, on the plane, it's like, okay, you put the mask, when the air mask comes down from above you, if there's problems in the airplane, you put it on yourself first, and then you put it on your children or whatever, is almost like an analogy there. But I think that's what we see in these two stories. Jesus is showing that first it's love God, and God is right here with you. It's right for her to be here at the feet of, you know, the Son of God. And then go love your neighbor when this is done. And it's kind of like the analogy that Brother Max said about read the Word of God, understand what the commands of God are, understand what the desires of God are, that's first, and go do it, which is going to have everything to do with how you treat other people, love your neighbor as yourself. So there's some thoughts I had there. I guess one thing, too, that maybe you would be interested in the Old Testament, the way that it's translated, the same name that in the New Testament is Mary, and in the Greek it would be more pronounced like Mariam, like that, right? But in the Old Testament, we have it as more like an I vowel, Miriam. It's the same name. I just thought I'd mention that. So Moses' sister is Mary.
Yeah, thank you, Max. I've had a thought over time, sometimes, of like what exactly, like how exactly should I do good to people, and like where to preach, maybe, or just different things like that. Like not sure what to do, like when doing good works, like not exactly sure what to do. And one thing I thought of is when Jesus gave his disciples authority to cast out devils and heal people, he told them that freely you've received, so freely give. And like that was their commandment at that time. And I don't like I thought, I just don't think the disciples were kind of, might have questioned Jesus, like, oh, like, well, what city, you know, like, or like, what kind of people, but rather just freely give to everyone. And I've thought, like, the commandment that we have is to love one another, and, like, just to take that action, you know, to everyone, kind of gave me a sense of direction, I guess, you know.
Thank you, Brother Max. I guess most people, when they name the little girl Mary, is because of the Virgin Mary, right? I assume that that would be the, I don't know, Walter and Sarah, how you raised Mary. It could have been Mary Magdalene, or it could have been this Mary, or the four other Marys, the seven altogether, I guess, those Marys. When you said two words, Max, I thought you were going to say what I'm going to bring up now about this Mary. You mentioned she anointed his feet with oil, and also she has chosen, she sat down at his feet to hear the word. And so Jesus is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows those are his. So she did two things for him. So what does he do for her in John 11? I'll read it, two verses. I thought you, when you said two words, brother, I thought you were going to go for it. In chapter 11, it says right here, you got it. You know what I'm going to go for, 33, 35. When Mary was coming, Jesus saw him. I think I'll weep. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her, that's not Mary, weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. God be magnified.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for that, Max. Then add some thoughts. I appreciate your thoughts on what you can draw out of that encounter that Jesus had with these two women. I think if we can put ourselves in the culture a little bit there, and we can learn. It was always a practice that, oh, I say always. I mean, if we look back over the prophets in the Old Testament, they encountered women coming by with needs, and a common thing. I was looking quick to find it, but I couldn't find it. I thought that there was something somewhere in the law about showing respect to a prophet when he comes into the town. Couldn't find it then, but Elijah especially had a couple encounters that people, or especially women, a poor widow, and then the Shunammite woman, you know, they had their needs. And when the prophets would come to town, they would say, hey, we're faced with this or with that, and they would sit down and just be right at the prophet's feet and begging him for help. I think the poor widow was, or the widow, said that she's a widow and she, you know, her husband died and there's a creditor after her and her son, and you know, they just knew getting into the presence of a prophet meant that the prophet's going to have the answers, and maybe that would shed some light on the difference between Mary and Martha. Just that Mary understood Jesus coming into town there, and he would have answers, you know, for her problems. And maybe Martha wasn't quite that way so much right at the moment. She felt more like serving him would be the right thing. Either way, yeah, they both have their purpose. But I think it's right that Jesus said that Mary chose the greater thing. That was what you did to a prophet when he would come into town.
Hey, thank you for the word. I was really blessed by what you said. She was criticized by others. She was justified by the Lord. And how many times in our zeal for something that's right, like Martha, you know, serving, or Judas, though the motivation was wrong in his case, but our zeal causes us to, hey, Lord, we saw some people casting out devils in your name, but they don't walk with us, so we forbade them. It happens too much. It happens too much in all circumstances of churches, all circles of churches that think that they're not causing division or for the zeal in order not to see division in their midst. You will see that in any kind of denomination out there. And we could be criticizing or forbidding an act of service to God, an act of worship to God, because we don't understand God's heart. And God is receiving that act. Like that woman weeping at Jesus' feet, right? That's the same Mary. And I think Mary Magdalene is the same Mary too. I was doing a study one day and kind of came to that conclusion. And they're always being criticized for doing something that we, in that mindset of those that were around, like, that's wrong or that's not fitting. It should be like my way. My way is the right way. And then we end up criticizing someone that's being justified by God. And we're like the older brother in the parable. We got to be careful. So I think if we can all remember those little two things that he said, criticized by others, justified by God, every time we're going to talk about a brother or someone we don't consider a brother, maybe that can help us. Praise the Lord.